ahead and get started. So I've entitled my talk for this evening, Fasting, A Hunger for God. As you know, tonight we're giving away three books called Fasting, A Hunger for God. And so the reason why I titled my talk for that was to just remind myself that we're giving away these three books, as well as just realizing that this book has really shaped my view of fasting. And there's just no better subtitle than A Hunger for God, because that's what we're talking about this evening. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts with fasting. We're participating in fasting because we want to love Jesus more. We want to know God more. We want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so, as many of you know, Rebecca and I have one daughter as of now. Her name is Piper. That is heavily influenced because we've been very taught and encouraged by John Piper's teaching ministry. Out of all of his books, I have read and reviewed this book by far more than any others, and so I highly commend it to you as this book has helped shape my view on fasting. And so, as we get started, we're going to give away three books of people who have made the informal contract with me of reading this book in 2016. The first is Kendra Duty. Did you put in your name? Okay, we have a copy. The next is Cassin, Dyson right there. All right, congratulations. And our third lucky winner is Caroline Mixon. Congratulations. So anyways, those of you that did not win a book, there's still something to be encouraged about is you have received a great recommendation on a book on fasting. I highly encourage you to read this. I highly encourage you to consider growing in the discipline of fasting, as for me, this has been a spiritual discipline that has moved from confusion to much more clarity, has moved from dread to much more delight as I've participated in this spiritual discipline. So my goals for this evening are that we would all be taught, have a better biblical understanding of what is fasting, why we should fast, that we would be motivated and moved to participate in fasting so that we would hunger after God. And then I'm going to conclude my time by giving some suggestions on how you might begin applying fasting to your life, or just some other suggestions that you might like to hear about fasting. And so to begin, I want us to consider the question, what is Christian fasting? So Christian fasting is the abstinence of food or other regularly enjoyed gift from God for spiritual purposes. I don't have this one up on the screen behind me, but I'll say it again. Christian fasting is the abstinence of food or other regularly enjoyed gift from God for spiritual purposes. The key in that definition is the very end, for spiritual purposes. You don't fast because you forgot your lunch, and so you decide at the end of the day, well, I guess I fasted today. I can be a little disorganized, and that would mean that I fasted an additional time each month or so for fasting. You also don't plan on fasting on a Wednesday, and then you just work the entire day. Instead of taking your lunch break, you just do more work. That's not fasting either. We abstain from food or other regularly enjoyed gift from God for a spiritual purpose. And so I say food because that's the example we have in Scripture. But I do think that there are opportunities to fast from things other than food. Martin Lloyd-Jones and others have helpfully taught on this, because the purpose of this is to draw near to God as we let go of things in this world and cling to Christ. So for example, someone might be fasting from food, but they realize that they would also like to fast from something else. That would be one reason to fast from something outside of food. But there's many other people, whether it's a certain season that they have physically or just for their entire life because of something that they that they're involved in physically, that they're not able to fast from food. And so this also opens the door for all people to participate in this discipline as well. So one example I've seen from a member in our church is he does fast from food, but he realizes that most evenings during the week he watches TV. And there's nothing sinful in watching TV, but he also realizes that he wishes he had more time to draw near to the Lord in reading the Word and in prayer. And so what he's decided is that most Thursday nights, instead of doing his normal activity of watching TV on Thursday nights, he spends that time praying for particular things that are near and dear to his heart. So that'd be one example of how you might fast from something other than food. Now I want us to consider, or before we move on, I want you to move to your worksheet, and I want you to write down something in your life outside of food that you could occasionally fast from to devote yourself to prayer and God's word. So this might be one thing that comes to your mind immediately, or it might just be brainstorming. So the purpose of this worksheet is after tonight's talk that you'd have many different thoughts written down that you can take and consider as you seek to follow the Lord in fasting. The next question we're going to discuss is, should Christians fast? And additionally, we're going to ask, must Christians fast? So to do so, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I'll have it on the screen behind me, but you might want to follow along in your Bible in front of you as well. So Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And starting in verse 1, he says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Verse 5, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Verse 16, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So what's Jesus' main point here? He's saying when you give to the needy, when you pray, when you fast, don't do it like the hypocrites do, that they do it so that other people will see them. But instead, do it to be seen by your Father. And as we give to the needy, as we pray, as we fast, we can expect to be rewarded by our Father. So just from this teaching from Jesus, we can ask the questions, should I give to the needy? Yes. Should I pray? Yes. Should I fast? Yes. But then we want to take a step back and consider, must we fast? Meaning, am I in sin if I'm not regularly fasting right now? And my answer to that is, I don't think so. Jesus clearly expects it, but there's nothing in the New Testament that says you are in sin if you're not fasting right now. And so we want to understand that. But we also want to ask, is that the right question? For us to come in and say, do I have to fast as a Christian? Or rather, would we come in and say, how can I love Jesus more? How can I hunger more for the Lord? What can I do to strengthen my hunger for God? And I believe that as we ask that question, as we seek the scriptures, and as we understand what the purpose of fasting is, we will be moved to participate in fasting. And don't miss the warning that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 6. So the main point is not that we should fast, that we should pray, or that we should give. The main point is that we should do those things, but not as the hypocrites do. And so as you do choose to fast, don't do it as the hypocrites do. You don't have to keep it a secret from everyone, but don't do it so that other people will think more righteous of you. Don't participate in fasting because then you think God is obligated now to answer your prayers. But the reason we fast is because we love Jesus and we want to honor him by coming to him with dependent prayer and fasting, seeking to grow in our hunger for God. So now I want us to consider the question, why do we fast? We're going to talk about four motivations. There's many more out there, but I want to talk about four key ones. The first one is to remind us and express to God that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. To remind us and express to God that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8 as we consider this. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, we read, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and he let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So God redeemed the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and he led them into the wilderness to wander for 40 years. Why did he do that? Why 40 years? He makes it clear here. To humble them and to test what was in their hearts, whether they would keep God's commandments or not. And he also humbled them by making them hunger and showing that he is the great provider and that life comes from trusting in God's word. And so, how did they do? This is the reason why God led them through the wilderness. And then as we know the story of the Israelites, we read that they grumbled, they built idols, they doubted God's provision, and they didn't trust God's word. How have we handled similar trials? In the same way, how have we responded when we're hungry? How have we responded when we're unsure how we're going to provide for our own needs? When we're unsure how we're going to provide for the needs of our family? How have we responded when God says to find life in his word and the culture says to find life in the world? I think if we're honest, we would realize that we, just like the Israelites, have built idols, we've grumbled, we've doubted God's provision, and we haven't trusted in God's word. But thankfully, our hope, our trust, our confidence is in Jesus. It's not in our efforts. And so I want us to look at how Jesus handled a similar situation in Matthew chapter 4. So keep in mind the whole story in Deuteronomy 8 and then Matthew 4, 1. It says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, of course, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And so we see in this passage that Jesus was led into the wilderness just as the Israelites were led into the wilderness. They were led for 40 years. Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And so Jesus obviously, just like the Israelites, felt hunger. Yet through his temptation, Jesus continued to perfectly trust in God and his word. And we see here that where Israel failed, and remembering in the Old Testament how Israel was called God's son, where Israel failed, Jesus succeeded. And so our hope and our confidence is in him. But of course, we trust in Jesus, but we still are tempted, and we still doubt God's word. We still grumble against him many times. We still don't believe that he's going to provide for us. And so this is why as we fast, we proclaim to ourselves, we remind ourselves again, and we worship God by proclaiming to him that we do not live by bread alone, but we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is also the reason why I would encourage all of us to consider memorizing scripture as we're fasting. As we're saying, I don't need this food to live. I'm going to rely on feeding on God's word. And so the best way for God's word to abide in our hearts is by memorizing it. And it's amazing if you take 10 minutes, how much you can memorize in scripture. If you take 15 minutes, something around there. So when you fast, if you take that lunch break to memorize scripture, to pray, to read the word, you can spend those first 15 minutes memorizing scripture, and it'll be astounding to you of how much you'll be able to memorize. And so a few things that you might consider as you're thinking about what to memorize is first, if you're fasting regularly, you might consider memorizing a longer passage of scripture. And so if you're fasting weekly, biweekly, or monthly, something of that sort, you might consider a passage of scripture that each time you're memorizing maybe 3 new verses, each time you're memorizing another 4 new verses. And after those few months of doing that, having a whole chapter of the Bible or having a whole book of the Bible memorized that you've been able to feed on during your times of fasting. But another thing that might be helpful for you is to consider, how do I need spiritual growth? In what ways am I really struggling right now? And then in what ways does God's word speak into my struggle? And as we acknowledge those different things, we can spend some time memorizing on those particular scriptures to pour into our hearts on the days when we're fasting. And so I want to pause just for a moment for you guys to turn back to your worksheets and to answer the question, what area in your life do you need growth? That one's easy. The second one, if anything comes to mind, what is a passage of scripture that speaks into this area that you could memorize while fasting? Second reason for why we fast. First one is to remind ourselves, proclaim to God that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Second reason, to discipline our flesh. We love Jesus, and we all can know from the word of God, and definitely from experience, how often our flesh comes in to hinder our joy in Christ. And so on the days that we fast, we're not doing it as just some religious ritual, but it's because we love Jesus and we don't want our fast leading us in a way that hinders our communion with the Lord. And so we're training our flesh, we're training our body to say no to the flesh. I love how Paul, who talks about how salvation is by grace alone through faith alone, also isn't scared to talk about discipline because he loved Jesus and he didn't want his flesh to get in the way. So he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I know for me, eating food is not something of the flesh as in sinful, but it's just something that our bodies, our flesh needs and wants and craves. And so in my days of fasting, as my body tells me I'm hungry, I want to eat something, and I'm saying no throughout that day, I'm making a practice of telling my flesh no, even when it wants something. And so I've seen this really apply to my life in regards to sleep. I wake up in the morning, I've set my alarm, I have a plan of reading the word and praying at a certain time, and my alarm goes off. My flesh tells me not to wake up at that particular time. But I've been able to make a practice of saying no to my flesh, and this has tremendously helped me to say no to the flesh to wake up when I say I'm going to wake up. Same thing when it comes to lust and matters of purity, is I'm making a practice of saying no to the flesh. And so when my body or when the flesh again says to look at this thing or to think on this thing, to spend my free time in this way, I've been practicing saying no to the flesh for the greater joy of pursuing after Christ. And so let's turn again to our worksheet. And I want us to jot down, in what ways do you tend to struggle with the flesh? Reason number three for why we fast: to express desperation in our prayers. As John Piper says, fasting is the exclamation point at the end of our prayers saying, we are desperate for you to move, God. We don't fast so that God is obligated to answer our prayers, but we're desperate for God to move in these different ways. And so I know in my own life, I'm desperate for God to help me to walk in repentance. I focus a lot on that when I'm fasting. I'm desperate for God to move in people's hearts who are either entangled in sin or who are lost. They haven't trusted in Christ yet. I'm desperate for God to give wisdom to our elders as we send out missionaries. I'm desperate for God to give wisdom to our church as we appoint elders. All these different ways. I'm desperate for God to move in these ways. And as we're fasting, as I've said before, God is not now more obligated to answer our prayers. He's never obligated to answer our prayers. But we need to consider how prayer and fasting, the purpose of it, the primary purpose of it, is to glorify God. God is pleased to move through our prayers to answer them. God is pleased to move through our prayers and fasting and answer them. But he's not any more obligated. And so as we pray and as we fast with desperation, we're making it clear to God that we have no other hope but for God to move in this particular way. We're saying, there's nothing in myself that I can do. All I can do is fast. All I can do is pray. And as I fast, I'm putting that exclamation point on my prayer saying, only you can make this happen, Lord. And so that's our third reason for why we fast. Fourth and finally, we fast to express our longing for Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple for purification according to the law, and they encounter a couple different people, but they encounter a woman named Anna. I want to read about that experience. Luke 2, verse 36 says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." So first I want us to notice, how does Anna use her singleness as a widow? This is amazing. Night and day, prayer and fasting. And then I want us to consider, as we're reading about Anna's story in the Bible, do we read that and think, what a waste? And it's helpful for us to think through that, because we can read this Bible story and say, that was not wasted at all. That pleased the Lord. The Lord moved through her prayer and fasting. But then as we consider prayer and fasting and devoting ourselves to those things, we're like, man, I don't want to waste time doing that. I have so many other things to do. And just realizing through Anna's example how it honors the Lord through our prayer and fasting. But what was Anna longing for in her prayer and fasting? We see this at the very end in verse 38. It says she goes to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She was waiting for the arrival of the Messiah. Anna knew about the Messiah through the Old Testament prophets. She wasn't indwelt with the Holy Spirit, yet she had the law and the prophets, and she longed for the Messiah to come. We on this side of history, we have seen the Messiah come as Jesus. We know about the gospel story, how Jesus lived a perfect life, died the death that we deserve, rose again. He gave us the Holy Spirit and ascended into heaven, and he promised to come back and usher us into the new heavens and the new earth. What does our prayer and fasting say about our hoping for the Messiah? Anna clearly was hoping for this Messiah to come. And so as we look at our fasting, we need to consider, am I hoping for Jesus to return in a similar way to Anna? When I read about Anna, I'm reminded that I'm often too full of the world, and so I don't think about Jesus. I don't think about Jesus' return, and I don't think about how I want more of Jesus in my life now. And so a big part of my fasting is not me coming in as a strong Christian, but is me coming in weak and saying, I'm full of the world, and so I don't have an appetite for God's word. I don't have an appetite to know God. But through my fasting, I'm saying I do want an appetite for God and his word, just like Anna. Now, I want us to consider, how can we apply this to our lives? So we've talked a lot about theory. We've talked a lot about what the Bible says fasting is. Now, I want to offer a few suggestions, and I want to make this clear. These are not commands. These are just some things that have been a benefit to me. Now, I'm primarily talking to people who either aren't fasting, fast very irregularly and have a lot of questions, or just want to be more faithful and fruitful in their fasting. So you might have a better system or another system that works for you. Feel free to use that as well. So first, I want you to consider accountability. We're familiar enough with Matthew chapter 6 that we know something about how if we fast in secret, we'll receive a reward, and we shouldn't fast to be seen by others. But I think sometimes that translates into no one can know that I'm fasting, otherwise it's ruined. And so, like, I go home for dinner, Rebecca asks me, you know, we sit down for dinner, and I just tell her, no, I'm not eating tonight, that looks disgusting. You know, or like, whatever, just to like, get out of like, letting her know that I'm fasting, or whatever it might be. But Jesus never says that. It's the same thing with prayer and giving to the needy. We want to let our light shine before others so that they might glorify God on the day of visitation. But we don't do it so that people will see that and say, man, you are awesome, or you are a good Christian, or whatever else. And I know in my own life, I have fasted where I have no accountability whatsoever. And that would usually be me thinking, man, it would be good if I was fasting and praying about this particular thing. 2.5 months roll away, I'm thinking, man, it'd be good if I fasted and prayed about that particular thing, but I'm busy tomorrow, and then I forget about it again. But when I brought in accountability into my life, not in a legalistic way, but people pushing me to love Jesus and know him more through the practice of fasting, it has helped me to regularly fast. And so I want you to consider, who's a mentor in your life, who's a roommate or your spouse or a good friend or someone that you're discipling, that you can talk to them and say, hey, I want to fast and pray about this particular thing going on. Would you hold me accountable to do that? And you might even ask them, would you be interested in fasting and praying about that particular matter with me? And so not only are you being held accountable, but you're probably bringing someone in to walk more faithfully in this practice as well. And so I'd encourage you to be held accountable to fasting. And secondly, and more importantly, I would say, is developing a plan. I think in all of the Christian life, many times we don't have a plan, and so we come up to the Bible and we just open it up and start reading. And so, of course, we don't get much out of our Bible study. But in the same way with fasting, if we just kind of recklessly and thoughtlessly pursue it, we're not going to get much out of it, no matter how many times that we fast or whatever else. So we need to be thinking about, what day are you going to fast? Meaning, whenever it is time to fast, what day is going to work best for you? And it's helpful to know that there's no perfect day to fast. I guess for some people, there might be a perfect day. When I was in college, the reading days would have been a perfect day because I didn't really use those always for reading days. And so those would have been great days to devote to the Lord. But if you work a normal job, you're a student, you're busy, you're not going to have a day that's just like really easy. Your Saturday or Sunday might work really well for you. But you might have some days that are just, those are the worst days. Those wouldn't work for it. And so whittle it down where you're able to see out of a normal work week, this one or these 2 days would work best for me. And so you're considering what day would work best for me. And then I want to encourage you to put it on the calendar. So plan for it. Sometimes we think if it's not spontaneous, it's not holy, but it is. If we say, these are my reasons for why I'm pursuing this, put it on the calendar so that you actually will fast on that day. Have an email or a text reminder sent to you that morning, whatever you need to make it happen. Consider frequency. Are you going to fast regularly on some kind of normal schedule, or are you going to only fast with various situations? In the New Testament and throughout the scriptures, virtually all, if not or most, examples that we see are situational. So people are desperate for God to move in this particular way as they send out Paul and Barnabas, so they're fasting. We see examples where the nation of Israel needs to repent, and so they fast as a people. We see many situations where people need to fast. But I wanted to offer a couple reasons for why I want you to consider regular fasting, meaning every week, every other week, maybe every week or every other week. These are my reasons. First, we're quick to be full on the world rather than God's word. And having a day of fasting is a day where we're once again reminding ourselves and proclaiming to God, yes, there's so many good things in this world, but right now my heart is not yours 100%, and so I want to fast and let you recharge me, let you refresh me. Secondly, is that there's always situations going on in our lives that require desperate prayer. I'm amazed that I see, as I think about, as I fast on a regular basis, what situations I'm desperately needing the Lord to move in. And there's usually certain things that I fast and pray for every single time because those situations haven't changed. I'm still desperate for God to move in those ways. But there's other people in my life group, other people in my community who don't know Jesus, who are hurting and struggling in various ways. And so by me fasting regularly, I'm able to think again, what am I desperate for the Lord? And what ways am I desperate for the Lord to move? So that's another reason why we might fast regularly. And thirdly, is for practice. I think that if you're fasting on a regular basis and a big situation came up, you would be more inclined to pray and fast as that situation came up, rather than virtually never fasting, and then that situation comes up, and I bet you would be inclined to pray, but you would maybe not be inclined to fast, because that's not a part of your life in any way, and so it's not normal for you to do that. It's not second nature or anything of that sort. And so my third reason would be practice of why you would fast on a regular basis. Next, you need to consider, how long are you going to fast? Do you start off by fasting for 3 days? Do you start off by just fasting one meal? You know, there's examples of people fasting for 40 days. You know, where do you begin? And I think just like with prayer, just like with reading the Bible, just like with gospel opportunities I have in your life, starting somewhere is the best place to start. And so if you're not fasting right now, I would encourage you to consider fasting breakfast and lunch one day and then having dinner, where you are able to, during the breakfast time, be more mindful of praying to the Lord in these particular ways, thinking on the Lord in these particular ways, using your lunch break, memorize scripture, keep praying in those particular ways. But as you're doing that, you're able to decide, well, does this work really well for me? Maybe I should only fast, you know, maybe I should only skip lunch. Maybe I'd like to fast for 2 days and in those times really devote myself to praying in these particular ways. And it's the same thing with prayer and Bible reading. We just kind of figure out how the Holy Spirit's leading us and moving us in various ways. Next, we want to consider, what are we going to pray for? I know that many days when I fast, if I don't at the very beginning of the day remind myself, this is what I'm fasting for, then I might find myself halfway through the day thinking, oh, what was it I was wanting to pray for today? What's the reason for my fast today? And so I'd encourage you, as you put it on the calendar, jot down a note, and this is the main thing that I'm wanting to pray for during this day. This is the main scripture I'm wanting to memorize as I'm desperate for the Lord to change me in this way. So have a good plan. And then finally, what are you going to memorize? Like I said before, if you take 15 minutes, this is for any day, it doesn't have to be a day of fasting, but if you take 15 minutes, you can memorize 3 to 4 verses of the Bible well. And you can also review verses of the Bible. And so let's say you have 12 verses in Acts memorized right now in succession. You could review those verses 3 times and then memorize probably the next 3 verses in 15 minutes, and you would have that down pat. And what would be cool is if that's the way that you're wanting to grow in, is now that's going to influence your prayers as you spend the next half hour praying and seeking the Lord in that way. That allows the Word to influence your prayers. And so I'm giving a little plug for scripture memory as well, but I think that these two are related. As we're saying, I'm going to feed on God's Word rather than feeding on the food around me. So that's all I have. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a second to ask me any questions, practical or theological, that you might have. But before I do, I wanted you to turn to a person sitting by you again, maybe the same person, and share a few takeaways. So one thing that you learned about fasting and one question that you still have. So take about 2 minutes to answer those different things, and I'll see if any of y'all have any questions that we can talk about as a big group afterwards. All right, as we conclude our time, I just wanted to hear if anyone had any questions that I could attempt to answer, and that maybe would be a help for the group at large.
What do you say for trying to fast on a work day or a school day where your whole time isn't fully devoted to the Lord? You know, you're working for the Lord, yes, but like you're having to do your work alongside of that when you want to be praying or meditating or memorizing scripture.
Yeah. I don't know what your situation is like, but for me, almost every time I fast is on a work day, and so I try to really focus in majorly on that lunch hour, as well as in the morning as well. And so I don't know if you get a lunch break or anything like that, but I would say trying to get away where...
Are you a slave?
Some people are driving and eating as they're working. That's right. Yeah. Listen to Kelly. Sometimes teachers get about 15 minutes for lunch. So,
do you get a chance to eat?
I rest my case.
not a slave.
I didn't say, do you get to eat a lunch break? Thank you. All right. So what I would say to that is there's probably two ways of viewing this. Some people would view if you're fasting on a Monday or on a, maybe Saturday would be easier. If you're fasting on a Saturday, that basically all of those hours, those 8 hours or 10 hours or whatever else, would be devoted to prayer and study of scripture, and not really like seeing other people as well, kind of like a day of solitude as well. Where there's also, I would say, days where you can fast during a work day and just really utilizing that lunch break well. I would say, I mean, the goals that we're seeking to come or draw near to the Lord through prayer and fasting. And so if we say, man, I feel like I wouldn't be able to ever really have like a solid day of fasting, so I'm just not going to fast, I think that would be the loss, rather than saying, let me take that hour that I don't normally have to pray and memorize scripture and really pursue the Lord in that way during that time.
You said fasting is kind of an exclamation mark for our desperate prayers to cry out to God and to draw his attention to certain dire needs we have, right? But if we fast regularly, would that be as unique of a situation when we cry out to God? Like, would we need to do something else, or yeah, how would we handle that?
That's a good question. I think that would be some people's reason for why they wouldn't fast as often as maybe I was encouraging earlier. That was a suggestion, not a command, whether if you're fasting weekly or biweekly. I know for myself, in fasting regularly, that I need to be desperate again that next time I fast. And so I haven't found it as a hindrance for me in any way. Taylor was just asking me about that. Do you feel more desperate when you fast? And I told him, most of the time, yes. You can come in with perfect focus in your prayer without fasting. You can fast and be totally just all over the place and not focused on prayer as well. But I would say for the most part, as I fast, it helps me to remember to be desperate when I pray.
So you might not really be able to answer this question, but maybe someone does. Do you have suggestions for moms as if they're like staying at home with kids and just maybe tips as mm-hmm. we don't maybe have a quiet lunch break?
Yeah, you don't get a lunch break. Yeah, I would say in that situation, you might consider kind of more of the day of solitude model, or even just in your day of fasting, having Ryan babysit for like a chunk of that. So there you go. So I mean, like, whether it's like breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or just sometime in between, like an hour and a half where you're able to get away and have the exact same experience. It might not be able to be during the work week. It might have to be on the weekend. Those would be some of my suggestions. Another thing is, in our young, growing church with women pregnant, they might feel like, hey, that's a danger to my child to be fasting during this time. And if you don't feel comfortable with fasting while you're pregnant, that's totally fine. Maybe consider something else like social media. On this day, I know I usually spend 30 minutes or something like that on social media and internet and all these things together. I'm going to fast from that and really pursue after the Lord more holy on those days. So,
For some of us lay people that have more physically taxing jobs, would you deem it unwise to fast on the days that we are working? Like, I work a part-time job, so I can fast other days. Would it be unwise in your eyes?
Yeah, I think whatever works better for you would be the best. So, I don't have a physically taxing job right now. I used to.
Amen.
And, and so, whatever worked the best for me, there'd be some times where it's like, the one day I have off, I might not want to fast because I might want to have a meal with Rebecca or something like that. And so maybe I am able to fast while I'm doing my physically demanding job. I know some guys in our church that have physically demanding jobs that fast on those days still. And not that, like, you don't have to do that, but just, like, whatever works best for you.
Nate, do you have any thoughts about fasting on Sunday particularly? Like, is that something that we should prioritize or not prioritize? I'm trying to think through that, you know, as what I would want for our members, you know. Mm-hmm. Would that, because a lot of them would probably say that would be a pretty good day to fast, just given schedule and everything, and they're focused on the word, receiving it and everything. But it also seems to me to be kind of a feasting day of sorts, you know, where we're celebrating Jesus' resurrection and we're hearing from the Lord and communing and encouraging each other, probably through eating, mm-hmm. as we talked about this morning. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I wouldn't regularly fast on Sundays for all the reasons that you just gave of fellowship. And, you know, just from the sermon this morning, we want to share life together. And Sundays is, for a lot of us, is the easiest day to do that. I think that as we have different things of, we could consider more fasting, even corporately, as we're pointing elders, sending out missionaries, things of that sort, just as the church in the New Testament did. Yeah, I probably wouldn't do it regularly for the exact reasons that you gave. I think that it could be really helpful for someone as we're if Sunday is your Sabbath day, to really devote that day to the Lord. But that would maybe be just a little bit more irregularly.
How do you handle talking about fasting as questions may arise, like people saying, why aren't you eating? Or kind of what's your take on that based on Matthew 6?
Yeah. I usually don't have too many questions. And so it's usually not that big of, like, I think maybe sometimes we're like, oh no, people might ask me about this today. But you can also just kind of make sure that it's on a day where you don't have, there's not like a lunch meeting or something like that. Because then you're having to explain it to everyone else and you're just going to kind of like apologize for that you're fasting that day or whatever. And so I would say it's probably not going to be that big of a deal, but then just tell people. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with telling a Christian or a non-Christian to, especially a non-Christian, for them to think about, so why do you fast? And be able to explain that. But you're not doing it, you're not even doing it for like a gospel opportunity. You're just doing it to be honest about what's going on, I think is okay.
Okay, I always thought like with fasting, it was more because I just get hungry all the time. So I always thought it was more like when you feel that hunger, then that like redirects you and reminds you to pray. And what I'm hearing more, this is more just like a day set aside to abstain and like really focus. And so kind of like with what Sarah was saying, like as a mom, like is that still an okay interpretation? Like if you're home with little ones or something, that like when you would normally go grab a snack or you're getting snacks for your little ones and you're like, oh, I'm starving, that even in that moment reminds you in that your own moment, like, okay, I need to be praying for this. Like still setting aside rest time or whatever to really have that devoted time. But throughout the day, I guess I always just thought like, oh, when you get hungry, then you pray. Is that wrong? Like, is that a wrong thinking on
that? I think that's what your hunger is reminding you to pray in those moments, reminding you that you live by God's word rather than bread alone. I would say additionally, I think it would be beneficial to have some kind of time where you're able to, I can't memorize scripture. I can't pray as well. I definitely pray in 1 minute bursts, 2 minute bursts, but there's something different between that and praying for 20 minutes or something of that sort. And so not that one is better than the other, but I think if we're only getting 1 minute prayers throughout that day, it would be beneficial to try to find some way to get away as well.
By job reasons, I on one occasion had the opportunity to live in the same apartment with a Muslim in Ramadan. Mm-hmm. So it's impressive how he didn't even taste water. Mm-hmm. But man, how he ate once the sun set. Like, there was no tomorrow. So, how do you think that will diminish the value of fasting, or how that can reveal your real attitude toward God?
Mm-hmm. That's great. For those of you that don't know, during Ramadan, Muslims fast from food and water while the sun's up. I played basketball with a guy that during Ramadan, he wouldn't have water during practice, and so it was really hard for him. But that's a huge thing. Every single time I fast, Rebecca, like, I'm definitely tempted to eat faster and more when it comes to dinner time or whatever else it is. But if our fast just leads us to gluttony, there's probably something wrong there. And so we should still be denying our flesh when we come to dinner after the fast. And so I know some people might eat a ton of food right before the fast and then eat a feast afterwards. That's probably not for it either. You know, like the purpose isn't like, how can I survive this thing? But I mean, that's a very real struggle. Like, I'm tempted with that every single time I fast. And so it's another reminder. I read this quote by John Calvin, talked about how all of your life should resemble a fast. And so when we're fasting, we're eating things to the glory of God, but not more. That's what our life should look like. So when we're fasting, we're denying our flesh so that when we come out of the fast, we're able to like be more ready to say, like, is this really what I need? Rather than just, I know for me, I'm just mindlessly eating. Oh, I'm so tempted to mindlessly eat all the time. And Alan and Cody could tell you, I can eat a lot. And so I feel like through fasting that it's actually, it really has brought it to mind so much more throughout the week. I'm hungry. I'm thinking, am I fasting today? No, I'm not fasting. And like, help me to eat with a lot more self-control. Well, guys, that's all the questions that we can take this evening. The elders will be available up here in the front. If you have any more questions, we'd love to answer them. I do want to encourage you guys to take that worksheet, read through it, think through it, talk with someone about what it might look like for you to practice fasting either on a regular basis or a situation that's coming up in your life. But I'm going to pray for us and we'll be dismissed. Father, we know that all good gifts and all perfect gifts are from you, including fasting. It's not just this hard discipline, but it's also a gift. It's a wonderful thing that you give us. And through it, you teach us to be desperate in our prayers. You teach us to depend on your word. You teach us to hunger after you. And God, we pray not that we would be really good at fasting or some other spiritual disciplines, but we pray that we would be people that love Jesus. I ask all this in his name. Amen. Thank you, guys.